Go ahead, Sophie. Hershey Park. Okay, where else? Ocean City. Okay, Holy Drive. Okay, Massachusetts, see that again. Disney, nice. And Laura, where do you go? Spain. Spain. And that was okay. They're going to Disney? Okay. What about you? Where do you go for vacation? Wildwood? Okay, so we've all been on vacation. Vacation is fun, right? It's where we go to kind of get away from everything that we have to do during the work week or the school week, and we just relax and enjoy ourselves, right? But sometimes people take trips that are kind of like vacations, but they're different. And we call those pilgrimages. And when you take a pilgrimage, that's a trip that has to bring you closer to God or bring you to a special place where you can pray. And lots of Christian people like to go to Israel, to Bethlehem. Now, we know why they might want to go to the little town of Bethlehem, right? Why? Yeah, right. That's right. Exactly. That's where Jesus was born, right? So that's why it's a special place for a lot of Christians to make the trip to. But sometimes our lives can be a pilgrimage, our lives can be a pilgrimage. When we work every day on becoming closer to God. Out there. What? They're adventures, exactly. Your life is an adventure, and when you're always striving to be closer to God, your life can be a pilgrimage. You don't have to necessarily go all the way to Israel, for example. Alright, so we're gonna try an experiment, okay? Alright. Now, I want everybody to go to the back. Kids only, please. Everybody, what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go to the back. And now before you go, a couple of things I'm going to tell you. When I say go, I want you to make your way back up here. Number one, this is not a race. Okay? I know when you hear me say go, everybody means you want to run. It's not a race. We're just going to, I want everybody to make their way back up here. However they want to. Everybody can come a different way, but I want us to all end up back here, okay? And don't go far. I don't want you to go to like Harrisburg. So let's all go to the back. We're going to try something, okay? If you want to. If you don't want to, you don't want to. Okay, so you know what I mean? Everybody finds their way back up here, but everybody can go a different way. Okay, we good? Okay, go. Okay. See, some people came here, some are coming up the middle, some are coming over here. See, everybody found their own way back to this place where we all meet and worship God. And that's what pilgrimage is. We just took a little pilgrimage. So just remember that every day of your life can be a pilgrimage when you're making good choices and you're trying to stay closer to God. Okay, let's say a little prayer. God, thank you for the privilege of our life that you have given us. Help us to always try to make good choices and to stay close to you and to see our lives as a pilgrimage every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Okay, so the Wiggles are going to go to the music room, and all the elementary kids are going to go into the brown room for an activity today. Awesome. This morning we're going to continue our return series where we're examining spiritual practices that have been handed down to us from Judaism. And each week during Lent we're focusing on and reflecting on a different spiritual practice. Each of these spiritual practices are intended to help us integrate our our daily lives. We're connecting our physical bodies, our emotions, our reflective thoughts, our spiritual awareness to kind of connect our whole self in relationship to God and in relationship to others. So first, we return to the practice of fasting, which is choosing not to eat for a designated period of time out of a concern that is a response to a sacred moment or event. So that's practice of fasting. Then we return to the practice of six-hour prayer, which comes to us from Judaism, who has the practice of praying five times a day. And we all try to have that regular scheduled praying on the hours for our day. Then we return to the spiritual practice of Sabbath, setting aside a specific time in our week, each week, and finding our own rhythm and flow to our week so that we can engage in the practices of play and creativity, social justice, and rest. And last week, we sat in small groups as a community. We practiced together a sacred meal, communion, a community meal of love. And this week, we're going to return to the ancient practice of the sacred journey or pilgrimage. Charles Foster has written a lovely little book called The Sacred Journey. And in it, he outlines the basics of the ancient practice of spiritual pilgrimages. And one of his first things that he says in the book, his preface, is that traveling is fundamental to the human essence and suffering. So I thought we would test this theory. I thought we could have some fun naming some of our favorite films and movies that depict spiritual journeys. So, what are some of your favorites? What are some of your favorite films, movies, books, stories? Stories are also the essence of what it means to be human, that depict spiritual journeys. So what are some of your favorites? The Way. About spiritual journey. Others. The Wizard of Oz. What else?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love. That's one of my favorites.
El Camino.
El Camino. Yes, here. Harry Potter.
Avatar.
The Sound of Music. Will.
2001 Space
Odyssey. Yes.
Brian. Book of Eli.
Book of Eli. The Life of Brian.
Avatar.
Homeward Bound. Yes, I love you. Guess who's coming to dinner? Others? Yeah. Is that you? Do you want to say it? Napoleon Dynamite?
Into the Wild.
Into the Wild, yeah. Oh, Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah. Dave? Pinocchio. The Book of Mormon. You almost got it. I thought this was going to be a lot of fun. So, this week I think. Oh, wait, we have another one?
What is it? Splash.
Splash. So, does this prove this point? Traveling is part of our essence and our life. Well, I put together a list of my favorites. My favorite movies about films about favorite journeys, and some of you may be. Thelma and Louise is one of my favorites. Juno, if you've ever seen it. This is a classic Louise Big Adventure. Yeah. Eat, Pray, Love is on my list. Shawshank Redemption. That is a great film. Little Miss Sunshine, if you've ever seen it.
mention all of the Harry Potter movies. Yeah. All of them. Every single one. Book and film.
So many of these films and books have a character that is longing for something different. They have a sense of unrest or spiritual longing. Harry Potter is longing to find himself. Thelma and Louise, as well as Andy and Red, are longing for freedom, while Peony is searching for his best friend, his Spike. Juno and the Hoover family, known as Sunshine, are searching for meaning and connection in his family. In each of these very human stories, there's a need which sets them on this journey, and it compels them to move forward through this story. And through that journey, they are changed by their experience. So, before you put on your IV shoes and backpacks, what are some of the motivations which might compel you to go on some spiritual journey? What motivates you to travel, to wander, to journey? Cheryl.
Clearing your mind every day for people to experience.
Clearing your mind, yes. Tim?
The loss of a loved one.
The loss of a loved one, yes.
Help reset priorities.
Reset priorities.
Reconnecting.
Reconnecting.
Can you expand your mind?
Expand your mind.
Yeah.
Letting go.
Letting go.
Dissatisfaction with stagnation.
Dissatisfaction with stagnation.
Food.
Discovering new things.
Being open to wonder.
Being open to wonder.
Food.
Eat, pray, love. I mean, who wouldn't want to eat their way through Italy? Prison.
Rediscovering yourself.
Yes, rediscovering yourself.
Surprise for me was walking with other people, other pilgrims, and listening to their stories.
Walking with other pilgrims. Listening to their stories. Yes, it gives a sense of community, right? Of something that's bigger than the
world.
Yeah.
Realizing that humans really are the basis of
good. Yeah. And Bob said, realizing that humans are basically good when you set yourself out on a journey.
Yeah, sure. Looking at the wonders of nature as you're walking along.
Yeah, looking at the wonders of nature as you're walking along. So you can see that our motivations for going on a pilgrimage are very mixed. There's a lot of different reasons why we might set ourselves on a journey. And most of us long to discover something new, something different. You know, we don't want to be stuck. Like, we feel this need to move forward. This morning I also want to recognize while pilgrimages have a beauty to them, there's also an ugly side to the practice of pilgrimages that I don't think I want to go unmentioned, because there were periods of time in our history where things like the Crusades and the bloodiness of the Crusades, or then thinking about the Reformation, which recognized the abuses of the church, but then completely shut down the practice of spiritual pilgrimages. So we have this very mixed history, and I just want to acknowledge it because there is this ugly side. But I do think that doesn't mean we should completely ignore the practice altogether. I think it's dangerous if we forget to think about the dangers in a practice and completely ignore it. But we have to also recognize that millions of people from all the world's religions practice the spiritual pilgrimages because they can bring us to something different. Journey is fundamental to our human nature. So what's interesting to me about the Bible is that when we read the Bible, God, Yahweh, is a God of the Word. God shows preferential treatment for pilgrims, God journeys, people journey, and throughout Scripture, God is moving. God's very name is action. God's name is a verb. God is who God is. God's very nature is always moving. So God begins with creating everything. Planets, suns, land, animals. God creates Adam, human, out of the dust, humus, from the earth. Humanity is born from the earth. To walk the earth, and God created Adam, a
And then soon Adam and Eve come into the garden, and then they give birth to two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel was a person, and Cain is a settler, a farmer. Abel is a wanderer, Cain is a settler. These two brothers each bring an offering to God, and God clearly prefers Abel's offering. But Cain gets the upper hand when he becomes jealous of God's favoritism and he murders his own brother out of jealousy. But God is on the side of the wandering nomads. These ancient stories help us understand God's very nature, that God is a God on the move, so that when God becomes a pilgrim later in the scriptures, in the story of Exodus, he's living in an ark. There it is. The Ark of the Covenant. And the Israelites fled slavery in Egypt. God is living in a box. He's wandering around the desert with the people. God is on the move. And then Yahweh becomes a wandering homeless man. A vagrant. Jesus. This is a statue called the Homeless Jesus, a bronze sculpture by the Canadian artist Timothy Schnapps. Jesus was a wandering rabbi who taught about living in an upside down kingdom of God. He didn't care if he had the right beliefs or belonged to the right group of people. He simply extended the invitation for a pilgrimage, and he said, come, follow me. Fishermen, prostitutes, wealthy and poor, the religious elites, and children all followed Jesus as he wandered for miles around Jewish Palestine. He was teaching a different way, preaching about God's love, teaching about a kingdom of love and healing and forgiveness. And this sacred journey isn't always easy, and it's tough to follow because we can be very uncomfortable where Jesus leads. So let's read this story from Scripture together. On the road, someone asked him to go along. I'll go with you wherever, he said. Jesus was hurt. Are you ready to rob it? We're not saying the best things, you know. Jesus said to another, follow me. He said, sir, but first, excuse me for going with you, please. I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral. Jesus refused. First things first, this is life, not death, and life is urgent, and now it's God's kingdom. Then another said, I'm ready to follow the master, but first excuse me while I get it straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Jesus is a street corner preacher calling out, come and follow me. Come and follow me. According to the scripture, what does that mean? What can we expect in following Jesus? What does that mean, really, when we choose to follow? Discomfort. Prioritize. Life won't be easy.
Giving up
things. Sacrifice.
Hardships. Joy.
Yeah.
Turning from darkness.
Following Jesus is to follow compassion where it leads us, even if there's a cost to bear. Following Jesus is following forgiveness wherever it leads us, even if there is a cost to bear. Following Jesus is reprioritizing our lives with kingdom values of love and hope and compassion and healing and care, even if
there is a cost to bear. I have the experience of being changed in relationships every time I travel. Whether it's going on vacation or an intentional pilgrimage, whether it's going to Jerusalem or to Honduras, whether it's going to a hospital or having coffee, wherever I travel, wherever my feet take me, I have found that God is present in all of those journeys, in ordinary people, and especially with people who are living on the margins. I'd like to just note that the next piece of art you're going to see is called Migration, and it's by the artist Abraham Tobias. As pilgrims, there is a risk. When we journey, there is a physical risk to our bodies when we travel. Some of us really know that well. But there is also a spiritual and emotional risk when you invest your heart and your life in relationships, especially with people who are living on the margins. When we walk, when we put one foot in front of the other, when we live in the margins, when we invest in those relationships, when we encounter people just as they are, and when we are present in joy and in suffering, it makes us come alive. It helps us to connect with the Spirit, and it helps us to connect deeply with one another. Pilgrimage is a journey. So grab your sneakers and get out there. Get out there. And get out there no matter what your mode of transportation is, whether it's your feet or your wheels or your wings, let the journey take you. Pilgrimage involves body, heart, and mind. And it involves some spiritual and physical muscle. So stretch those muscles. Most importantly, pilgrimage is not about setting yourself on a path to arrive at a definitive destination. When you set yourself out on a pilgrimage, you never know where exactly you're going to land. You may not arrive where you thought you were going to end up at the beginning of the journey. But when you do arrive, you will be changed. You will have grown. The sacred journey transforms you. And feel your body on pilgrimage, whether it be in the sweat, in the blood, in the tears, in the blisters. In the hunger, in the thirst, in the exhaustion, in the renewal of your good night's rest. We come alive when we stand at a precipice, overlooking a mountain and a river valley, or when we're covered in the tears of pain and joy after a child is born, or when we're holding a friend's hand who is in the hospital as their spouse is being removed from life support. These are the sacred journeys of our lives. We go to the places where we are called to love and to be loved. In the face and in the great risks of struggle and pain, to discover where our feet are and where we stand, where our love makes a difference, and we see our companions, holding them, as God holds all of us in love. Amen. So through the season of Lent, we have been engaging in random acts of kindness. We have been trying to balance our spiritual practice of being with our spiritual practices of doing this Lent. And we have been reading our way through a devotional called 40 Acts. And even if you haven't been following 100% of the devotional, I've been hearing some amazing and beautiful stories this Lent. Is Paula still here? She's probably in the other room. She shared with me a beautiful story. I have her permission to share this story, where her and Alexia brought a little gift bag of chocolates and went down to the post office this week. And they could see the woman behind the counter was stressed out. She was managing so many different projects. And Alexia just handed over this small gift. And not only did it make the woman's day, but it brightened up everyone.
public space. They were post office. So these random acts of kindness can really truly mean the world. So I'm going to invite you now to take the green ribbons that are on your chairs today, and let's tie those ribbons to our green catcher to remind us of the beautiful impact our random acts of kindness can have on the world. I invite you to do that now.